This is Hidden Tillers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
Let's move over to the prosecution of this case. They told the judge that they're ready to try Alec Murdaugh before the end of 2026. The judge gave them till April. That's 10 months to rebuild a case that just lost its most powerful narrative. The 12 and a half hours of financial crimes testimony, the Supreme Court said, went too far. Now, they did say you can't talk about it, but they said, watch it. Watch your step a little bit there, buddy. Now, everybody looks at that and go, oh, my gosh, that was the most damning part of this. I don't know if it was. I mean, it was damning. It was certainly a very strong part of this case. But what about the boat crash? What about the activity that he did in that whole scene of trying to intimidate witnesses, it appeared, or get people to tell a certain story, certain ways? We saw some of that come up in round one. None of that has been brought to light. That could, I think, taint Alec in front of a jury pretty good as well. But again, different case, but somewhat connected here. How much of that do you think can get in round two to taint the character of Alec Murdaugh, Bob?
I mean, it's going to be substantially less.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. I don't think that's a death knell. I don't think that there's anyone that watched that trial from beginning to end that didn't think it was too much of the financial crime shit that came in at trial. It was too much. He didn't need that much. And some version of the financial crimes is always coming in because it goes to the state's theory of motive.
Yeah.
Right. So it's always going to come in. I mean, that was kind of the brilliance of the way Creighton, decided upon landing on that particular motive, because he knew that was going to be allowing him to get in these financial crimes that lay him out as the shitbag that he is. And I'm talking about Murdaugh.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, if you're not putting that forward as your motive, I don't know that it's relevant to come in a murder case. What I'm saying? So that was kind of ingenious move by Waters to get that stuff in. And I think if you trim all the fat off of it and you're still getting it in, it might be more effective in terms of, because sometimes in the law, less is more. And I think that this might be one of those situations where they're going to get enough in to where they get the vibe that, look, Alex, he had a motive for creating sympathy and to buy himself time because he was going to try to make all this shit right in terms of the missing money and the IOLTA, the lawyer trust account, all that stuff. All he needed was a little bit of time.
Yeah,
I just needed to divert everybody's attention to this horrible thing that happened on my property, and I didn't do it. But I don't know,
Judge. Go over here. Look at this. That's all it is.
Yeah. So can they still admit? Because I thought it was really the big link for me. One of them, besides all the financial stuff, obviously, as the main thing, but his attempt to shoot himself or hire someone to shoot him prior to this to garner that sympathy as well, I thought really laid out that this was just another example of that. Is that something that can come in?
Oh, I think so. I
think that's a strong one because when we're showing arcs of behavior, is it like that's my question always. Can you convict someone of being a shitbag? Because he is, and I think that's what all those things are showing. But this actually, that to me is a real data point on something he's done in the past to sway sympathy in his favor. And this is just another act of that.
I mean, look, it's going to get that aspect of it is going to be litigated again in motions in limine. I mean, the defense is certainly going to try to keep it out as not being relevant to the actual shootings and homicides. And we got a new judge. So it's going to depend on the way that she views it.
So, boy, I just on that is interesting because I know the three of us have been talking about his arc in life behavior, especially as the testimony and our conversations with his housekeeper have shown that he never did anything for himself. He always hired someone, which is this third party thing that came in. But I'll tell you, we do have one data point where it actually might be him, and that is that attempt that he did. He hired someone to do it that didn't do it. And so what did he do? When the hired person didn't, he took it on himself to do it and then bungled it.
But you know what he did do? He hunted. A lot.
Right. He did. They were a big hunting family.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that all kind of goes to Cousin Eddie's credibility, though, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, that was a fascinating part of this trial. Like, the whole Cousin Eddie thing was something that, like, I was just absolutely fascinated by every aspect of that in terms of trying to figure it out. But it, again, in terms of relevance, that's your battle if you're the prosecution, and you're going to have to fight the battle again in terms of how is that relevant? Because again, you cannot put prior bad acts in to show propensity. You know what
I
mean?
You can't use past as prologue. I mean, as a method of garnering sympathy,
motive, opportunity. There, you can use prior bad acts for different things, but you can't use it for propensity. Like, you know what I mean? That, like, mm-hmm. this guy, this is the kind of shit that this guy does. You know what I mean? Like, you can't use it like that.
I always have a hard time understanding that line between you can use it and can't use it because it is part of that. All right, that's always challenging.
Well, look at it like this, Robin, with like prior bad acts, and a lot of it's uncharged.
Right.
It's always our biggest battle in any trial when they're trying to, because we know what they're trying to do. They're really trying to just shit all over the character of the defendant in order to get the jury to convict them. You know, so there's always that argument. And, you know, as the law is developed about allowing prior bad acts to come in over time, I mean, ultimately the courts have said, look, you can't use it to show that it's their, you know, it's within their character, that they have a propensity of, you know, committing those types of crimes. So if they did it before, they've clearly done it again. You know what I mean? So it's
can't
like,
show that.
Propensity, no.
Yeah, because I was even thinking, you know, when cases, you know, go to the horrendous human, not even human being, the bag of genetic goo, Stephen Stearns. You know, so if they had shown, you know, in Maddie Soto's case.
That's different.
But if you have an arc of behavior where you're doing horrendous things to children, that's not relevant to the fact that you're targeting someone?
That's different. Like,
how?
Because they just view sex crimes differently. It's a different thing. Like it's a jurisdiction by jurisdiction thing, because like the predilection of being a predator, it just falls in a different category.
So the predilection of just being a self-inflicted stupid idiot isn't
right. It's just not
the death penalty. I want to talk about that. Wilson put the death penalty on the table, at least in some sound bites he has. Now, the original trial obviously didn't seek it. Harpootlin called it a campaign sound bite. And in South Carolina, if you're following any of the political things going on there, it's pretty much a battle of who's going to attempt to put Alec Murdaugh to death. is like what some people are going to start running on here. As far as if they can actually get there and it's not showing that it's a prejudice going in, I mean, number one, Bob, what are the odds of it truly being on the table? And when do they need to decide here? We're 10 months out from an Alec Murdaugh trial. When do they need to officially say, yeah, we're seeking the death penalty or we're not? Because obviously cases get handled quite differently. Decisions, motions in limine, everything gets decided very differently if this is a capital case, if this is a non-capital case. I would imagine that it can't be too far down the line.
No, it's got to be in the very near future.
Yeah.
Like, because everything is different. Like the case won't be tried in April. If it becomes a death penalty case, everything changes because there is a lot of moving parts in a death penalty case that don't exist in just a regular, you know, life without the possibility of parole case because, you know, they're trying to execute them. So, yeah, I would admit, I don't think it's happening.
Is it in Alec's interest to have it be a death penalty case? Because that would essentially eliminate or put much tighter restrictions, I should say, on what gets in and what gets out. Anything that's kind of in that gray area, a lot more odds for Alec's favor that it never makes it to trial. And the less of that makes it into trial, the more reasonable doubt he has. You're playing, you know, with a hand with much higher stakes. But at the end of the day, could it be an easier game for him to win if that was, in fact, what's on the table?
Yeah. I mean, in theory, yes.
Do you want to pull that slot machine and hope for the best?
Right. And, you know, from my perspective, I mean, I have to admit, I agree with Poot. You know, I think that it was done for a specific purpose, that it was done to taint the jury pool, you know, because it's effective.
Right.
You know, like if you go out there and you're making a statement that, well, you know, this shit's so serious, we're going to seek the death penalty this time. You know, I mean, it resonates with potential jurors. It just does, you know,
but and don't they need to have some new evidence of some sort, something, you know, big from the state's part that they would change what they're seeking? I mean, or can it just be as simple as, well, you know what? We had a moratorium on it back then. We don't anymore. And if we didn't have it back then, we would have chosen it, but it's back. So we're going to pursue it this round. Is it that simple, or do they need to get more on the table before they can truly put it up there? And how much of an issue could that be in an appeal?
No, I think that it's a choice. You know what I mean? As long as it's on the table, you know, the bigger problem is going to be is that they didn't try to go after the death penalty in the first trial.
Yeah.
That's going to be the bigger issue for them. And especially if he's convicted, and, you know, ultimately at the end of the day, like that'll be what's litigated. The job will shift from trying to get him a new trial to trying to save his life. Yeah. And that will be the issue that is litigated at the appellate court level. And, you know, like I don't want to try to guess, but I think it'll be a pretty strong issue in terms of them, you know, probably potentially prevailing on that aspect of it. And I'm talking about Murdoch's attorneys. Yeah.
And are they death? And also, are the attorneys death penalty certified too? Because does that matter in South Carolina like it did in Idaho?
I don't know if I would have to imagine that Putin and Griffin are.
Yeah.
They're pretty experienced lawyers. Right. Because like death penalty certified just typically means that you've tried a bunch of cases, and in particular murder cases. Yeah. So, and those guys are both very long on the tooth. So,
right. Yeah. And it's not a public defender where they got to make sure it's a public defender that's death penalty certified. These are his choice attorneys, if you will. Yeah. Yep. So, yeah. It'll be fascinating. It'll be very fascinating as all this continues to play out. Give us your thoughts in the comments section on Substack and YouTube. We will continue our conversations right there. All right. I'm taking the next about week and a half off. I'm getting married.
So, oh, yeah.
We're all going.
So the live episodes will be resuming. Robin's going to be picking up on the 9th. But just so you know, everybody, go enjoy your 4th of July weekend. We're going to be doing some best of the year so far. A look back at 2026 so far for the next week or so and a lot of our content. And then on the 9th, Robin is back here on the air. And then I will be back.
Holding the ship down the best I can.
On the 14th, I'll be returning. So, everybody enjoy a couple weeks of summer. I'm going to go get that marriage thing out of the way.
And then I'll return.
Because traveling on July 4th for a wedding on July 4th is a fantastic idea.
Yes. Well, and the location we're doing it at has, it's right next to the area in our city that is putting on a massive fireworks show at like a big outdoor, it's the Walmart Amp in Rogers, Arkansas. We're right next to it at a restaurant. And we got a beautiful place to watch it. So there we are. We're going to enjoy the fireworks that evening and have a great night. And it'll be a great night with our whole crew here. So I'm really excited about that. I'm excited to take a little break, a little breather from all this. But we'll be back in full force here in just a week or two.
You have earned it, my friend.
Yeah, no kidding.
Thank you.
Content king.
Yeah.
No. I'm going, and the people are asking, where are you going? What are you going to Mackinac Island up in Michigan is the area where we're going to be at. So
is anyone who saw the movie Somewhere in Time with Christopher Reeve? Yep. That's where he's going. I think that's so cool.
It's gorgeous up there.
And I'm going to be dressed as Christopher Reeve, and she's going to be dressed as Jane Seymour, circa Dr. Quinn Medicine era.
Pre-horse accident, Christopher Reeve.
Yes. Walking Christopher Reeve.
Pre-horse accident, yes. Superman, I'm not going to be just kind of going around the aisle. You know, wouldn't that be interesting? But, be difficult. You know, there are no cars on the island. So I guess it'd be another way to get around.
Your wife will be saying, man, I didn't sign up for this shit.
I know we were going to the island. I think you're going to be that authentic about it. Anyway, all right. That's going to wrap it up. That's it. I'm done for a week or two. All right, everybody, crazy, huh? Have a great holiday, a great 4th of July, and I'll see you back here in just a little bit. Of course, we have more content coming out for you all throughout the weeks. It's just our lives will be off for about a week or so. So we'll see you back here when we get back. Until next time, for Bob, for Robin, for Todd, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.